Thank you for today. Thank you for everything you've done for us and everything you're doing for us presently, Lord. And we just we pray that you give us ears to hear and a heart to understand. We want to hear from you. We want to get closer to you, Lord. This is our desire. Lord, we do pray for those who aren't here, Lord, just one reason or another, Lord. Just be with them also, and be with the lost, be with the hurt around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I'm on. And so we're still in Thessalonians. And Paul's wrapping up his letter. He's wrapping up his letter, and he's ending it with some quick, short exhortations. So exhortations are, if you don't know, they're instructions of things we really want people to follow. Kind of like personal boundaries. You know, we have our bubble. You know, when we ride public transportation, your bubble shrinks, whether you like it or not. But you truly wish people would respect that, right? Paul had just finished talking about the return of Jesus, the day of Jesus, or the day of the Lord. Now he's telling the Thessalonians things that they should be working on until that day comes. So we'll start out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 and 13. Jesse, can you read that?
And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves.
So we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace, right? We all know this. The Bible teaches that. It's a free gift of love from God. And that's not going to ever change. And if anybody's telling you or saying it's something different, you'll beware of that. Yet, if we are saved, we're drawn to good works. It's just what we do. You know, they kind of go hand in hand. If we're following God, God doesn't do bad works. So, in that same token, we're not going to be doing bad works. We're going to be doing good works. But Paul wants us to recognize those who labor among us. So meaning working for, right? Those who are working to further the kingdom of God. Paul's not talking about titles or putting people up on pedestals. Paul wants us to think about them, to realize what they're doing and be grateful for the work that they're doing, that they've done. This includes the ones who are up front and we see all the time. And obviously, it leans to more of church workers or people that are serving in the church. So you have the ones you see all the time who are up front. And it also includes the ones we don't see, the ones behind the scenes. You know, doing the things, not always, but not necessary the things that we'd like to do, such as clean up, you know, like clean our room. We don't like cleaning our room, right? But there might be some that love doing that. Me, I'm a messy person. Thanks for that. Those who are over us, having respect for the position that they're in, recognizing the authority they have. In churches, jobs, or at school, there are positions that are over us. Meaning that we should be showing respect for those positions. You know, showing respect for leaders, you know, that's on us. You know, that's our responsibility. The leaders are called out to do what's right. And right here, Paul is talking definitely about leaders who are doing right. You know, what are following God and working, truly working towards you know, furthering, you know, God's kingdom. He's not talking about the ones what aren't. Paul makes it clear that we recognize their labors, so their works. You know, we're recognizing, and we should be able to tell by that if they're good or bad. We need to recognize those works, and if they're good, we need to show respect. You know, we always show respect and not judge things harshly, but those leaders don't get free pass. You know, it's not that nothing, they have the same rules as us. You know, they don't get to be beyond or above the law. Those who admonished. Now, admonished is gently or kindly warning someone or noting a fault. Now, you are instructed or instructing someone out of love when you admonish them, right? If you see somebody who is going to get hurt, you want to warn them, right? If you don't warn them, that's not really loving that person because you're going to let them get hurt. You know, the other weekend, we were in Boston, and we were walking around, and I... Don't laugh yet. I was walking through and I stopped and I didn't realize I was stopped in a bike lane, right? And this biker zooms right by me, right? And he tells me I'm in the bike lane. Now, my story is that he almost hit me, killing me, and was using very colorful language while he did it. You know, but I'm joking. He told me, I don't know, he did yell. He did say it loud and loud. But he was right. I was in the bike lane. I should not have been there. I could have got him hurt. He definitely would have hurt me if he would have hit me. Sometimes leaders sound like they're always telling us rules. Always giving us, oh, you got to do this, and you can't do that. You know, we need to learn how to take that, you know, that criticism, which it should be constructive criticism, meaning it's for our best. We need to be able to take that and put it that they're helping us. They're actually trying to warn us. They're not just yelling at us. Sometimes harder than others, but that's what we're instructed to do. Esteem those who labor for God in love, Paul tells us. Again, we're not saying that people that serve in the church are better than anybody else. But because they're working and doing things for God, we should be thinking the best for them, right? We should be wishing the best for them and praying for them, praying that they do well and they're successful, recognizing what they're doing and why they're doing it. Next, Paul tells the Thessalonians to be at peace with one another. Now, I know this is easier said than done, and it's a two-way street, right, to have peace. You know, both parties need to want to have peace in order to get it, right? And we cannot control what somebody else, how somebody else reacts. However, we can control how we act, how we respond. And that is huge. You know, it starts with us. We cannot be living with a hair trigger, being mad at every little thing, because we're not going to get peace that way. You know, to have peace, somebody has to step out first. Somebody has to want it first. And why can't that be us? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 14 and 15, literally.
Now we exhort you,
brethren.
Brethren, warn those who are unholy.
Unruly. There's an R.
Patient with all. See that no one renders evil or evil to anyone, but always pursue that is good both for yourself and for all.
So to exhort. Everybody uses that word nowadays, right? It's pretty hip. exhort is to urge or to encourage someone to do something. You know, Paul wants us to warn people. The New King James, which is what this is, it says unruly. It translated unruly. You know, other translations will say idle, undisciplined, you know, disorderly. Paul uses military terms to describe a soldier that maybe marches with his own beat, or doesn't stay in step. He breaks rank. He doesn't follow orders. You know, we're to warn those people that aren't following Jesus. We're supposed to warn the dangers that they could be in, or they are in, I should say. And then comfort the faint of heart, you know, the faint of heart. You know, the people that are about to pass out. Those who, you know, need somebody. Those who lack maybe a little bit of faith are going through hard times. We tend to get busy in our own lives. I know I'm guilty of it, is you get busy in your own life and sometimes you don't recognize when somebody needs to be comforted. You know, some people are great and they're really good, and that's a gift they have, is that they see that and they go, you know, they run to comfort those. Others, you know, we need to develop a good habit of seeing that, of seeing those who are hurting. You know, it's worth the work at making a new habit. Kindness is always worth that work. Uphold the weak. You know, we cannot let the weak fall through the cracks. You know, they need our help. Not out of pity. We don't help somebody out of pity, because we do it because it's the right thing to do. You know, in someday, we might be the weak. We might need help. Be patient with all. Now, this one can be hard, right? It's because that word all, right? Because all includes everyone. And everyone is different, right? We have our different needs. We have our different personalities. You know, sometimes those personalities clash. As Christians, we don't just sit around and wait for the perfect person so we could talk to them, right? Our perfect person to help. No, we're to help others, and others are different. We should be willing to help no matter of those differences. You know, we should be able to help in making sure that nobody repays evil for evil. You know, you've always heard two wrongs don't make a right, right? This goes along with that warning. You know, Paul is talking about acts of evil. You know, there's plenty of times people have been rude to me. You know, and if I were to be rude back, there's none of those times that it would de-escalate the situation. None of those times it de-escalated. It only makes things worse. It's kind of like trying to put out a fire by putting more fire on it or putting gasoline on it. It just doesn't work, right? It just makes things bigger, more volatile. It grows. That's why you don't repay evil with evil. You know, we should be pursuing what is good. You know, good for us, and we should be pursuing what's good for other people. Verses 16 and through 18, including 17, Michelle.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Our attitude, how our attitude should be. It's important to note that Paul says, in everything, give thanks. He uses the word in, right? It's in that situation we give thanks. He's not saying that we give thanks to God for hard times. He's saying that we give thanks for God for being there during those hard times. We rejoice in the fact that God loves us, that He always will love us. He'll never forget about us. He'll never forsake us. You know, we talk to Him. We pray to Him often without ceasing. It's building that relationship with Him, having a relationship with Him. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22 Sorry, I could turn around, but I'm stubborn. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Our doubts, our pride, our indifferences, distractions, many distractions, and the rejection of God, all quench the spirit. Now, we're not perfect. I don't know, unless you guys forgot to tell me, but we're not all perfect. I'm not perfect. And this is why Paul is going through this list. He's not saying that, you know, we're horrible people. We're saying these things everybody needs to work on. Everybody needs something to work on. You know, we need to be able to recognize those things that we should be doing just as well as those things we should not be doing. It's important to stay away from those things that keep us away from Jesus. Right? That's very important. Prophecy. The basic definition of prophecy is a message from God. Now, I don't know about you, but my brain typically will go to, oh, prophecy is about telling of a future event, right? Like a prediction. But it's a little bit different. It also includes a message of God about the past or about the present. So we're not supposed to despise those messages from God, thinking, oh, well, that's not from God. He's just not telling the truth. Now, on that same note, we're going to test it. We're just not going to blindly believe whatever somebody says. We're going to test it because the devil is the father of lies. So we test things, and we test them by the Bible. This is why it's important to go through the Bible, to know what it has in it, because we judge things by the Bible. This is our canon, meaning that's our standard. Now hold on to what is good. Again, the Bible. Hold on to what is true. We need to follow the truth. Now, a couple of verses ago, Paul was talking about acts of evil. Here he's talking about evil being a part of your life, kind of a constant, a continuous recurring habits of something evil. You know, the devil wants just the tiniest of footholds in our life, you know, just so that he could hang around. Keep kicking him off the cliff. You know, that cliff is yours. And with God's help, sin has no power over us. Romans 6, verse 14. Jesse?
Your sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace.
So we're under God's grace. Sin doesn't have power over us, as long as we have God on our side. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 26, 24, and 25. Lily?
How may the God of peace himself
sanctify
you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be present,
Brethren,
pay for us.
So Paul is always wishing the best for others. If you notice, in all of his letters, he's always praying for those. Praying for others. Caring about others. We see here, you know, and this is Paul. He's done great things, you know, working for God, right? In many years, he's established, right? He recognized that he himself needs prayer. You know, he's not too prideful to say, you know what? I need help. You guys need help. I need help. We all need help. We all need Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 26, 27, 28. Michelle?
Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
You know, we should care for others. You know, looking out for them, and we're looking out for them in love. It says holy kiss. You know, I mean, I know that's not a practice. I think older generations and over in Europe, they do that where it's kiss off to the cheek or off to the side. But it's just, you're greeting somebody in love. You know, you always have that in mind when you see somebody, seeing other people. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. This is the love chapter. And it's good to note that, you know, we're not talking about romantic love. You're not looking at people like every romantic love for every person you see. You know, it's that brotherly love, love that you would do anything for somebody else. You would lay down your life for somebody else. That is the love that Jesus is talking about here. It's a agape love is what the Greek word is. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God wants us to walk in love, especially towards others. In spite of differences, that we don't look at people differently, it's all there as far as, and you're hoping, you have that hope, and you know that people, there are good people out there, and you expect them to be that. Are you trust that they are that. You know, in spite of selfish ambition, we don't think about ourselves or how what I'm going to get out of it. You're thinking what's the best for them. We want what's best for those around us. This is why sometimes we need to warn others. Sometimes we have to do that gently, but we have to warn others. Sometimes others need to warn us. We need to accept that and listen. You know, it's not out of judgment, but it's out of love that we need to walk. Michelle, do you want to end us in prayer?